Turn with me this morning to Proverbs chapter number 8. May the Lord grant the petitions in that hymn. Proverbs chapter number 8, if you're there, let's guide our hearts as we approach our Father. Holy Father, unto thee belongeth all honor, glory, praise, adoration, thanksgiving. That we have is from thee, and it all flows freely for thy grace and mercy in Christ. Thank you for the Spirit of God. We couldn't understand this book. We couldn't declare it. We couldn't hear it or respond if it was not for thy Spirit. Now, dear Father, that thy name might be exalted. Come this day, dwell with us, abide in our midst. Give us that that is needed to speak, to hear. Give us hearts that might respond, honoring, glorifying thee, and that you might bring us more and more into a realm of spiritual worship. Help those that were not able to attend. Sickness, various other reasons. I pray you'd help them. Fill up the church. Call the saints. Gather them nigh unto thee. Cause her to begin to adorn herself. Trim her lamps. Make certain that there is sufficient oil. And work in us a looking and expectation of the coming of Christ. We pray in his name and for thy glory. Amen. Proverbs 8:20. I, wisdom, I, Christ, the embodiment of the wisdom of God, I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment. If any man be led by the Spirit of God, he is the Lord's. Otherwise, we have no right to claim ourselves to be in the number of the redeemed. And he always leads in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment. Verse number 21, this is our text this morning. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. You want possessions? Here it is. You want riches? It is here. And I will fill their treasures, substance, being, existence. The word comes from a root word which means to stand out or to exist. It is translated in many other passages in the Old Testament simply as is, be, have. Hope this is personal to every individual soul here today. Do any of you have that which is? Is there any of you here that possess what you have? You say, sure. I've got a job. I got a home. I've got a savings account. I've got a family. Really? Do you possess those things? Are they yours? No. All that you can call yours is a temporary loan from God. With no promise or certainty of you having tomorrow or you've got today. Look at the people in the last just 2 or 3 years that have had all their savings taken. Their 401k gone. Their investments. Failed. That which was no longer is. Or where they had it invested, failed to pay dividends, and they lost it. And there's a lot of folk that began yesterday morning with nothing, or a little of anything, because they lost so much last year. And of the unnumbered multitude that has gone on to stand in the presence of God, or a family having lost a member. I lead in the way of righteousness, and I will cause all those that love me to inherit that which is. They will possess that they have. I'll cause the things that I give them to stand out or to exist. There's only a couple of passages that I want you to turn with me today. Ecclesiastes chapter number 1. Wisdom. Probably the wisest of all outside Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Was Solomon, the preacher king. Verse number 13, Ecclesiastes 1, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. The sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is warning cannot be numbered. I commune with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart hath great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. The wise king, searching after, seeking after, having found great wisdom, got more wisdom than all that's been before me. Chapter number 2, verse number 4, beginning. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kind of fruits. I made the pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions, great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. I was great. Increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Owns everything he ever wanted. Ships coming every third year, bringing gold, silver. Back then was like a penny now. Not many people are going to stop to pick it up. It was counted as nothing. All his utensils, not of silver, but of gold. Whatever his eyes saw, that he obtained. Verse number 11. Looking over the garden, the orchards, the pools of water built to water, looking over his servants, his maidens, his great and small cattle, his silver and his gold, his musical instruments and his singing quartets and trios and duets. He come to this conclusion. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was a breath. All was as a vapor, and vexation, a striving within my own spirit, heart, and mind. And after all this, I saw there was no profit under the sun. Job went to bed one night and had all his great herds, his sons and his daughters, his house, his servants. Before he lay down again the next night, the only thing that he had left was a wife that was mocking him, cursed God, and died. One of the richest men in the East, and in absolute poverty before the sun goes down the next night. And all the while that he was looking at the things that he had accomplished and that he had obtained, there was this little voice within him saying, it's not going to be like this. You won't always have these possessions. They are fleeting. No substance, no reality in them other than the day that you've got them. Don't think that they might be yours tomorrow. Job said, the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. Children, only a fool lives outside the consciousness of God. There are times when I suppose that all Christians move for a moment outside that realm from beneath the eye of God in their own mind. When their eye is focused upon temporal things, and we lose God. Or we might read our Bibles, we might go on with our prayer meeting, we might go on with our gathering at the house of God, but we've lost God. Now, mark it as a mental note. Absolutely nothing exists apart from God. your life, the lives of your family members, the lives of your friends, all that you rightly can in the eyes of the public say, this is mine. Nothing exists apart from God. He is before all things, Colossians 1:17, and by Him all things consist. If you got tonight what you had this morning, it'll be because Christ has kept them, maintained them. Everything's in this earth, from the gems to the diamonds, everything that is under it, everything that is above it, all goods, all men, all beasts, exist and have their being only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Move outside the realm of the earth's atmosphere, the sun, the moon, the stars, the other galaxies, everything that is exists because He sustains and maintains. If your world sustained tomorrow, He did it. While the earth remains, God's telling Noah, some of those early patriarchs, while the earth remains, you'll have seed time and harvest. You'll have cold and you'll have heat. You'll have winter and you'll have summer. And day and night shall not cease. Forget about the moon turning to literal blood. It's not going to happen. Forget about the sun up there being darkened and not giving forth its light. It's not going to happen. God said, as long as the earth remains, folk will go on planting and harvesting. Folk will go through winter months and summer months, and they'll go through days and night, and only God that created these things can sustain and fulfill that promise through all generations. Any of you see? Well, I didn't see it. I just saw some pictures of the lunar eclipse last, the 21st. One of the rare times when it is eclipsed, covered up on the same day that the winter solstice begins. Well, if you saw any of those, you saw that the moon had a blood color, deep red. It was not something that was taking place on the moon. It was something that took place on the earth as the sun's light beamed from the earth. And our earth's atmosphere bent them. It caused that bloody color. Probably a lot of sermons last Sunday on that. The moon turning to blood, but it won't be. The sun will always be up there. The moon will always be up there. The church will always be, but we won't always be in this temporal life. Folk, the only thing that is, let me say it that way. The only thing that you truly possess, or that you have, has its existence and being in the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing that you can put your hands upon or say, see, this is what I own, or look at my possessions. Those are not. They belong to your neighbor. They belong to the government. They belong to another world power before your life is spent here. The only thing that has existence is that is within your soul this morning of Christ, what He has done, what He is becoming, or who He is, and becoming to you by faith, laying hold of all that He is and appropriating that as your personal possession. And the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead, and therefore arise and cross over this Jordan and see all the land before thee I have given it. But then He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you. The only thing I've got, how you strip it down in your own life, folk, is that it's right here. You may well hold everything else loosely. Substance. I ascend to my God. And your God, and to my Father, and your Father. That's existence. That's got an eternal reality. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. You have not seen Christ, not naturally. You have not, you do not know God by natural means. But folk, you can't believe in that you have not seen, and you can't lay hold of that you do not know exists. Substance in your soul is the reality that God is. Faith laying hold. And it is only by faith, which is the eye of the soul, that you see things that are invisible, and with the Spirit of God making faith active in your soul, then these things are brought into existence. I know God is. I know God is. Not because I read it. I have seen Thomas in the visibility of the naked eye. He saw the wounds in Christ's hands and feet and in His side. And he said, my Lord and my God. Faith reacts the same in that sight. My Lord and my God. Mine. Always and forever. Lose everything else. I still have that. Substance. Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus and Christ, said, she hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. Martha stirring up the evening meal and washing the pots and the pans, and she gonna do it again the next day and the next day. Mary, for that moment that she had the opportunity, sit down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she got from him substance that will go with her through death into eternal life. It won't be taken from her. And will everyone bid farewell to everything that is temporal? All relationships end. And none of us will carry anything with us. When the soul bids farewell to the body for a period of time, undertakers will get your, they'll get your natural remains. And they'll put those 6 feet under the ground for a while. You carry nothing. I mean absolutely nothing in my hands, nothing good I bring. Except the substance that is in my heart. Spafford, I think that's correct. Horatio Spafford. Lived in Chicago, dedicated there, one of the elders in the Presbyterian Church, very wealthy man. He and his wife lost a little 4 or 5 year old son. Chicago fire burned a lot of the city, destroyed a lot of the homes, took a lot of his investments. He and his wife spent what they had left on trying to see that the homeless had a meal to eat. His wife got real sick and they decided that they'd go to Great Britain. They'd follow Dwight Moody. He'd been in their home. They were good friends to the noted evangelist, and he was over there on that continent for a while, and they were going to spend the summer months just visiting with him as he preached in different places. Something came up and he couldn't leave, but he sent his wife and 3 or 4 little girls ahead. And when she got there, she sent a telegram back home. Saved alone. She held that little baby girl, the newest one, held her, tried to keep her above water when another ship hit theirs. Until her head struck an object and she lost consciousness. They saw all the little girls drown. He got on the next ship, headed that way, and as they were crossing the Atlantic, the captain said, "Here's where the other ship went down. The water's 3 miles deep." The dear old soul went down in his little cabin and he penned those words as well for my soul. And all of that third or fourth stanza. My sin, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Now part of it gone. Substance. Reality. Existence. It meant Christ. You know, the sad thing, that he and his wife get back to Chicago when the church turns them out. Said nobody could be a Christian and have all that, those many bad things happen to them. And they left America and moved to Israel, Jerusalem. Start a ministry there, feeding homeless and helping them. My sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to his cross. Substance. Oh, that there were some, there was the Spirit of God working again today, convincing men, women, boys, and girls of their sinful state, and then bringing reality, substance into their soul, meeting, neath the cross of Calvary, a crucified Savior. There, by a work of God in your soul, have the weight and the burden. Don't know anybody. Don't know folk today that's having the burden and the weight of sin rolled off their back because they are guilty before God. Reality, substance, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. Reality, not a cross in a history book spoken about some 2,000 years ago, not a cross even in the holy inspired word of God, but a cross. It's been made present day where I, as a burdened, weighted down sinner, made my way up that mount with that burden on my back to try to get to that man on the middle cross. Substance. Baptized into his death. Buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should walk in newness of life. God consciousness. Every day. In all things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Nothing real about that. No substance in a shadow. The law having a shadow. No substance in the law. Know that my beloved will be like the young roe, hard. Come skipping across the hills until the shadows flee away. They did. If you've met he who is the light of the world. The Old Testament shadows are all gone. Until the day break and the shadows flee away. One last, 1 Corinthians. You could quote it with me, but 1 Corinthians 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. When the soul takes its wings to glory, faith's left. If God will comfort you in that last hour by faith upon the reality of that that is in your soul, then you'll bid adieu to faith. It'll give way to sight. And hope, well, if you got that you hope for, then what do you hope? And hope gives way to the reality of possession. So you don't need faith and you don't need hope. These will remain here, but love goes with you. The only thing, the greatest of these, is charity. Love not the world, only the things that are in the world. Why, Lord? There is no substance. Folk, don't waste your life on things here. Make a good living. Got no problem with that. Do things that are needful as a member of society, as a member of a family. Do those things. But there's no eternal substance in any of these things that are done outside Christ. Do you know that love is the most powerful and the most influential action in a man or a woman? Now, let me think a minute. And I guarantee you that you can name folk that have given up in life because they've lost life's reason to exist. How many mothers who no longer has a husband or children to care for, they just give up. No reason to live. If the body doesn't wear out, the mind goes because they have nothing, no reason to live. If there is not a right vertical relationship between you and God, every last horizontal relationship around you is only for time. Everything around us is changing. We're passing a way today that we will never pass again. We're leaving today behind us and we're moving into a futuristic. And yet we live in the reality of another day. But it has no substance there if life is not right. Your life is not right with God. Accomplish, gain, gather whatever. Absalom builds a monument. Got no sons, got no one left to carry on the family name, so he'll just go build a big monument down there in the plain. spoke amid the uncertainties of a world that is constantly changing. This thing is certain. I will cause those that love me to inherit the substance. Reality. Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. Substance. Isaiah 59, though the hills depart, or the mountains depart and the hills be removed, my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither the covenant of peace be removed. I'm not going to treat a faithful God as he is carelessly if he'll help. I'm not going to take lightly that perfect work if he'll help. And I looked up and I kept typing in, and I never could get this verse. I knew it was there. I kept typing in, a mother forget suckling child. And there's nothing there. And then I realized I didn't say that. God asked the question, can a woman forget her suckling child? Or not have compassion on the son, or passion on the son of her womb? And God said, yeah, there is a possibility. Infants have been left in all tight places because a woman wouldn't become a mother. God said, yeah, they may. But I will not forget thee. Substance. Walking this day in the presence of God. Doing what I do in the presence of God, walking, communing, far beyond religious exercises. Heaven does not bring such a drastic change as you might think. And that we hear about when you go to funerals. Oh, so-and-so, and one of the old writers in the past generation said, I've been sitting there and knowing that person, that they would be totally miserable in heaven if they went there. It's not what everybody talks about or everybody imagines. It's not going to be that drastic of a change. Eternity doesn't bring to completion that which was not begun in time, and that which is being carried on day by day, and that which is not being developed here. It's not going to be if it's not in your soul today. It's not going to occur at death. This day walking, this day communing, this day knowing something about the forgiveness and cleansing and the joy of that when the Spirit of God applies fresh to you the blood. Or the Spirit of God brings home to you the reality of that substance. My God will never leave me or forsake me? Now, I'll just close with this question. What is the tenor of your life here? And you answer that, and you answer it honestly, and that's going to tell you right now to which world you belong when death finds you. I, wisdom, will lead in the way in the paths of righteousness. And I will cause those that love me to inherit reality, substance, that which is, that which exists. I'll cause them to inherit that. Timothy, you dismiss us, please, sir.